Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 12, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the U.S. International Trade Commission has preliminarily ruled that Mexico exports of sugar hurt U.S. producers. We'll have that in other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason talks about yield drag for later planted corn, and the folk from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago will be by with the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Monday afternoon. Hard red winter July wheat settled at 824.5, down 4.25. Soft May, 705.5, down 8.5. July, 715, down 7.5. May corn, 497.5, down 7.5. July, 499.5, down 8. September, 494, down 7.75. December, 492, down 6.75. Go out to July 15, 511.25, down 5.25. May soybeans, 1483.75, down 17.25. July, 1465.25, down 21.75. September, 1270, down 15.5. November, 1212.25, down 14. July soybean meal, 478.20, down 9.10. July soybean oil, 40.98, down 20 cents. June live cattle, 137.70, down 35. August, 138.20, unchanged. June, May feeder cattle, 184.90, up 32.5. August, 192.32.5, up 95. May lean hogs, 113.45, down 122.5. And June at 119 even, were down 117.5. And those are the settlements today from Chicago.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Leonard's weather highlights, he says rain will fall in the western Corn Belt today and in eastern areas today through Wednesday. Most areas will be impacted at one time or another. Rain totals from this wave of rain may range from 4/10 to 2 inches, except in eastern Kansas and northwestern Missouri, where 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch will result. Rain in the eastern Midwest will range from 1/2 to 1.5 inches, and local totals over 2 inches are possible. Another disturbance may impact the western Corn Belt Wednesday before shifting into the eastern Midwest Thursday and Friday. Rain totals will vary from 1/10 to 6/10 of an inch, with the greatest amounts in the south. A few counties from southeastern Missouri to Kentucky may receive more than 1 inch of moisture. Temperatures are expected to drop below average beginning at midweek this week and lasting through the coming weekend. The cool weather will slow evaporation rates and limit planting time between storm systems.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, a lot of red on the screen at the settlement bell this afternoon, although it looks like the wheat really tried to make a comeback but couldn't quite get enough energy to do it.
Yeah, wheat kind of led the charge lower in the evening trade. It virtually made its lows just in the opening minutes of last night's trade there, then came climbing back out of the hole there. Kind of reminded me of that movie Trading Places where they moved the market and all of a sudden the Dukes came in and said buy and buy it back. And KC wheat particular was the leader back to the upside here. Amazing, you know, close to almost 20 cents off the low there. See what this afternoon's crop conditions report, you know, shows. You know, evidently it's going to show a little bit more deterioration in the western wheat belt. They received some moisture here over the weekend. The question is whether that's going to be beneficial or continue to see some more moisture develop. But that's where the came back enthusiasm was, but the bean complex and the corn complex failed to bounce a whole lot off their lows.
And I think the anticipation is this afternoon that we will see 55 to 60-ish percent of the corn crop in the ground, right?
Well, it became an auction as the day went on. I mean, we were it kept going up. I seen a high estimate as high as 65%. Then the contrarian came in, so I don't know if it would be much above 50%. But for the most part, I believe the trades is 55-60% complete. I know here locally we're fairly well done with corn plantings, first time at least, hopefully. And beans, a good chunk of the beans have gone in. We'll see how much has emerged here. The area to watch and continue to watch would be that, you know, northern Iowa, Minnesota, Dakotas, in through there. Then portions of the south, there's still some areas, you know, even southern Illinois, Indiana, you know, there's some spots around where they've been struggling somewhat to get the crop in. But, you know, the calendar's, you know, rapidly approaching mid-May here. Next week's supposed to be a little bit more cooperative weather-wise. So we'll see what the report shows. Bean progress expect to be anywhere from 15 to 20% of the bean crop in the ground.
Feels like 2013 all over again, with maybe North Dakota being one of the deciding factors as we go along.
Well, we'll see. We'll, you know, see what develops. You know, there's some snow on the ground just not too long ago, and the thing is, on that March planting intentions report, they were seeing a big shift to the bean acres up in that area. So, but the main thing, like we discussed this morning and a few other analysts have been looking at, too, is, you know, we need to get down to this last week in May and see what that last 5% of the acreage, see where we're at with that.
Meanwhile, it looks like the continued mindset is to push the downside.
Well, we're checking out the lower end of the range, I think. You know, we're just, you know, above some key support levels. If those key support levels give way, you know, the technicians will pressure this thing a little bit more. The idea, we've seen the early spring highs, and we could trend lower as long as weather cooperates. Right now, you know, the mentality is rain makes grain, especially here in the east where we got the crop in. So it's going to be awful hard to see the public get real excited about, you know, pushing the market higher unless some hot, dry weather develops here in the eastern belt. So it's kind of like we mentioned, in the hands of the weatherman, we've got some high yield expectations there, you know, and some of the trade doesn't agree with that. We'll adjust as we move along. But the report there last week gives some benchmarks to add, subtract from, and that's what's going to keep the market interesting here over the next 6 months.
So lay out the benchmarks on the charts that we should be keeping an eye on.
Well, I think the focus, for the most part, new crop, basically the December corn. We had a low here about 3-4 weeks ago around this 487 area. I think that's a key area to try to stay above. A failure to stay above that would signal that we're going to go move lower here. That will confirm that big old hook reversal we saw there on Friday. November bean-wise, I think we're fairly close to this 1208 area, more so a close below $12 would be psychologically damaging. Then on the wheat, the July wheat, this $7.695 area, it's a key level you need to try to stay above to keep the bull in the game.
Let's turn our attention then to the livestock side, where feeder cattle continue to amaze. August, 192.32.5.
Oh, boy, it's amazing there. You know, there's ideas this feeder market go up to $2, so there's some optimism still out there. Corn goes on down value. You'll see the value of those remain somewhat firm. It continues to be some profitability there if you can get some lower inputs on feed-wise. Main thing, too, on the meat side is pork exports are expected to go up quite a bit in here, but we're only going to have a slight increase in pork production. If, according to the reports we saw Friday, evidently they're looking at not a huge loss in what we saw this winter if the PEDV virus circulating around. I think those losses were huge, and I think this pork complex is going to remain in fire, especially the second half of summer. That's when the real tightness is going to come in due to the losses we saw this winter.
So all the sticker shock that we've seen at the retail, we may not be done with yet.
No, it's about like gas prices, man. They jump up fast and they're slow to come down. I believe that, the meat counter price is going to remain relatively high for over a year yet.
Thank you much, Kurt.
All right, take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In agricultural news, the U.S. International Trade Commission has determined in a preliminary finding that sugar imports from Mexico harm U.S. producers. ITC's preliminary determination by a 5-0 vote paves the way for the U.S. Commerce Department to continue with its anti-dumping and countervailing duty investigations. Commerce initiated investigations in April after petitions filed by American Sugar Coalition alleged dumping margins of 30% to 64.31%. The Commerce Department is due to issue its own preliminary countervailing duty determination by June 23rd, with a final decision due in September. Hillshire Brands Company today announced that it has agreed to buy Pinnacle Foods Incorporated for roughly $4.3 billion in cash and stock, giving the packaged meat producer a broader line of grocery staples, including frozen foods, salad dressing, and syrup. The combined company, which will bring together the Pinnacle's Vlasic Pickles and Hillshire's Ballpark Hot Dog brands, will operate under the Hillshire Brands name and be based in Chicago. The deal is expected to close by September. CME Group has new initial margins for corn and soybeans. The exchange operator lowered corn futures initial margins for speculators by 14.3% to $2,025 per contract from $2,363. CME raised soybean futures initial margins for speculators by 20% to $4,050 per contract from $3,375. A Purdue Extension agricultural economist believes that the highest cattle prices of the year are now likely in the past. In the first quarter of 2014, Nebraska steers sold at an average price of $147 per live hundredweight. That's more than $20 higher than the previous first quarter record price. Nationally, finished cattle prices were up 17% during the first quarter. Chris Hurt says that finished cattle prices are expected to move to the mid to low 140s per live hundredweight in May and June and range between $135 and $139 in the third quarter, then bounce back to the low to mid 140s for the last quarter. The higher cattle prices translated to higher retail beef prices for consumers. The per-pound retail beef price average hit a record $5.55 in the first quarter of 2014 and is expected to be $5.67 for all of 2014. That's a 7% increase over the 2013 average of $5.29 per pound. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. As we head into the second full week of May, it is likely some farmers will begin to feel the pinch of not having all their corn planted. Todd Gleason has this story on how much yield a farmer might lose with each passing day.
The researchers at the University of Illinois have been running planting date studies for a number of years, and they say while there's always a lot of variability in planting date responses, some consistency exists. One such set of data is from DeKalb and Monmouth over the past 7 years. Data from these two sites, located in the upper third of the state, were used to develop the corn replant model in the current Illinois Agronomy Handbook. These sites also represent the Corn Belt quite well, thanks to University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger. So he says the results are applicable over a wide area. Now, combining data by percentage of maximum yield for each site and year shows that the highest yield comes at about a planting date of April 20th. Compared to the highest yield over the combined studies on April 21st, the yield loss for planting on April 30th was 1%, or 2 bushels. By May 10th, it was 4%, 8 bushels. By May 20th, it was 8%, or 17 bushels per acre. By the 30th day of May, the loss 14%, or 29 bushels. And by June the 10th, the total yield loss predicted from the data set was 22%, or 49 bushels per acre. Well, the average maximum yield across all sites was 216 bushels to the acre. Losses measured as bushels per acre per day of delay for 10-day period starting on May 1st were May 1st to the 10th, 0.6 bushels per acre per day. May 10th to the 20th, 0.9 bushels. May 20th to the 30th, 1.2 bushels per acre per day. And May 30th to June 10th, 1.9. The loss accelerates with more loss per day of delay the later it gets. Because average temperatures rise during April and May, the per growing degree day yield loss would accelerate less than the per day loss. It would be closer to a straight line. These results bring up an obvious question. Has the planting date response really changed, or are we just looking at a favorable set of data? That's not completely clear, says Emerson Nafziger, but he does think that increasing tolerance to the stress of high populations has likely helped plants to also do better under increased weather-related stresses, especially during pollination, that are more likely with late-planted corn than when the crop is planted early. 7 years is a reasonable sample of years, he believes. One lesson, Nafziger writes in the Illinois Crop Sciences Bulletin, is that having planting delayed to early or mid-May does not mean game over in terms of yield potential. Average growing degree day accumulations during April range from less than 200 in northern Illinois to about 300 in southern Illinois and amount to less than 10% of the seasonal total. In other words, losing April, well, that doesn't greatly diminish how much season is available to produce a crop. The main reason why late planting lowers yield is due to the increased chance of water stress when pollination is delayed. As much as we hope we can finish planting within the next couple of weeks, Knapsiger writes, rain in July will, as usual, be the main thing needed for good yields in 2014. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I suppose I should be asking you, with the board showing some weakness in recent sessions and by all accounts, many of people believing that the risk is still to the downside, especially if we raise anywhere near what the USDA says we're going to raise. How much heavy lifting do you think that basis is going to have to do over the summer?
It depends on the demand. You know, we've seen basis levels on beans already get better. Some of the processors are in the 50 to 60 over range. Local elevators are in the 25 to 30 over range. So basis is improving, but it usually only goes up a little bit, and the board goes down a lot. So, you know, if the demand is there, I think you'll see kind of a combination of both board and basis doing some of the work.
What do you make of the idea that we got beans coming up the Mississippi? Pretty amazing.
It is. It is. I guess we've done it before, but we haven't done very many of them. And it, according to the government, we have to import, 80, 90 million bushels this year to make the balance sheet work out.
Yeah, they added another 35 million bushels, didn't they?
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I know it can work, and for the right price, things can happen. But you just don't snap your fingers and get beans to move from South America to North America overnight.
How has transportation been for the Andersons in the last couple of weeks in terms of getting corn down to processors?
We've actually been pretty fortunate. You know, we've got space, so if the train's a week or 10 days late, it's not a big issue. We just wait for the train to show up. That's a different story in the fall. A week or 10 days makes a big difference then. But this time of year, trains haven't been too bad, maybe a week or so behind. But like I say, that hasn't been a big issue for us here in the Midwest.
We're hearing reports of people who've had to deliver at this time of year having some mold issues. You see any of that?
Knock on wood, no. I guess we had corn that went into the bins, 16, 17, 18%, maybe a little wet. And if we would have had a warm winter and a warm spring, maybe that would be an issue. But that's the one thing we didn't have was a warm winter. We definitely had a cold winter, so maybe that was the one silver lining to all this cold weather was that it kept the corn in decent condition over the winter.
How far along do you think producers are selling?
We are not seeing much new crop selling at all, either corn or beans. And I guess, you know, after the last 3 years of sub-trend line yields, I think, you know, the old theory of selling a big chunk ahead, I think people are rethinking that. Now, that may be the right thing or the wrong thing to do. We just don't know yet. But whatever the reason, we have not seen much forward selling for either corn or beans.
Very quickly, your prices.
Old crop corn today is $4.85. New corn, $4.67. Old beans are $14.90. New beans, $11.92. And new wheat is $7.06.
Thank you much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather. It's National Nutty Fudge Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1777, according to the International Dairy Foods Association, the first ice cream advertisement appeared in the New York Gazette. In 1934, dust shut out the sun over the East Coast for 5 hours, and dust was reported settling on ships 300 miles out to sea in what was the first nationwide environmental disaster. The Dust Bowl days of the 1930s were caused by the clearing of virgin prairie with plows, long drought, and high winds, and it resulted in the formation of the USDA Soil Conservation Service. In 1991, a new cancer drug was announced, which was found in the bark of a rare tree in the Pacific Northwest. And in 1994, Roy J. Pluckett died. He was the inventor of Teflon in 1938. Its invention was an accident. During World War II, the new polymer was applied as a corrosion-resisting coating to protect metal equipment used in the production of radioactive material. The first non-stick cookware using Teflon was sold in 1960. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are expected to be mostly good as we go forward through this next week and a half, but there's still a lot of field work that's left to be completed in the upper parts of the region, and the weather this week will eventually cooperate. But today we'll look for showers and thunderstorms to occur across many areas in the Midwest, including the upper parts of the region where it is wettest and it has been coolest. And unfortunately, it's going to stay coolish across those areas for a while. In fact, a big part of the Midwest will cool down over the next 2 to 3 days. We will see temperatures in the central and eastern portions of the Midwest likely to get into the 80s yet today and perhaps tomorrow, and then the colder air will overspread most of the region. The only places that will not be a part of that warmth here today will be from Nebraska into parts of Minnesota and some immediate neighboring areas where temperatures will be held to the 50s and 60s, and we'll likely see that colder air move through the rest of the Midwest as we move through the day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And many areas in the Midwest will be reporting highs in the upper 50s and 60s as we get into the middle and latter parts of this week. The cool weather will stay with us just about that long, and then starting this weekend and moving into early next week, we'll see a little ridge of high pressure possibly building up from the Tennessee River Basin into portions of the eastern Midwest, and as it builds in, we'll see warmer temperatures overspread a big part of the region. In the meantime, the precipitation should subside here over the next couple of days, and we'll look for better conditions for getting back into the fields. The drier bias will likely begin tomorrow in the western Corn Belt, but today we'll still be a rather sloppy day across many of the western parts of the region. Once we get to Tuesday afternoon, though, we will be looking at drier weather in the western Corn Belt from Tuesday on into probably this weekend coming up, with one exception. There'll be a small disturbance that will pass into the region during the latter part of this week. It will set off a few showers and delay some field progress, but the resulting rainfall will be light and shouldn't have a lasting impact on field progress. The eastern Midwest will have a little bit longer period to go before dry weather returns. We'll expect showers and thunderstorms to occur today and tomorrow, and then a new low-pressure system will develop near the delta and move northeastward along the old frontal boundary, bringing more rain Wednesday across a big part of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. That frontal boundary and new low-pressure system will produce additional rain so that those eastern parts of the region will not dry out until we get to Thursday. And then starting late this week and going through the first half of next week, there should be a lot less precipitation in the eastern portions of the Midwest as well. So the bottom line is that we still have some delays in fieldwork coming up, but dry weather will likely evolve for a little while thereafter, should get us back into the fields, and we'll see some aggressive planting progress, especially if the ridge of high pressure builds up next week, as the European model has suggested today. That high pressure ridge would bring much warmer temperatures across the Midwest and help to accelerate drying rates, but it also does something else, which will be pleasant for some of the hard red winter wheat producers. It'll likely slow down the progression of the next frontal system, and some of the central and southern plains will have opportunity for showers and thunderstorms to evolve as we move forward through the work week next week. The resulting amount of rainfall may not be a big deluge, and it may come a little too late to save the winter wheat crop, but we will see at least some beneficial moisture, and certainly summer crops that are produced in the southern plains will benefit greatly.
Thank you very much, Drew. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.